Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are going to ask the little ones, by the help of their parents or elder siblings, to open the review section with prayer. You may unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Thank you, God, for waking us up this morning. Please have the 7 day to keep it holy. 6 day, Saturday, labor. And the 7th is the Sabbath of the Lord. And do all that work for the 6 day. And please take the Sabbath words that we're about to learn. And please take the Sabbath in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, dear ones, we are going to give the chance for our little ones to share the blessings that they have been to their parents, their household, or any area in their life. You may unmute your mic to share, dear ones.
May Father bless everyone. I just wanted to take a moment to highlight both my girls, Cindy and Emma. So I haven't been feeling well for the past 2 weeks almost, down with a cold, and they also are with a cold. But they make it sure that every day when we wake up, they say their prayers, and they would ask if I'm feeling better, and then would say they hope that day by day that they hope that I continue to get better and better as the day goes on. And I just want to just let them know that that is appreciated, as young as they are, to be keeping that in mind. That is truly a blessing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And if there's any other family that would like to be able to share, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones. We will continue in our study. It's story time, dear ones, for the review of your lesson of chapter 15, entitled At the Passover Supper, part 5, and our dear brother will be the one to share.
The Bible verses for our lessons are taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, and several other verses. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. In celebrating the Lord's Supper, we remember when Jesus started this custom, privilege. In John 22:19, he says, and he took the bread, and gave thanks and brake it, and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. And in verse 20, likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. In Matthew 26:21, and as they did eat, he said, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Verse 22, and they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? 25, then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, thou hast said. And that's their way of saying yes. As they were still at the table, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. As we eat the broken bread, we remember Christ's broken body on the cross. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you, Luke 21:19-20. The Bible says, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11:26. The bread and the wine represent the body and the blood of Christ. As the bread was broken and the wine poured out, so on the cross Christ's body was broken and his blood shed to save us. By eating the bread and drinking the wine, we do show that we believe this. We show that we repent of our sins and that we receive Christ as our Savior. As the disciples sat at the table with Jesus, they saw that he still seemed greatly troubled. A cloud settled on them all, and they ate in silence. At last Jesus spoke and said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." The disciples were grieved and amazed at these words. Each began to look into the heart, his heart, to see if there was any shadow of evil, of an evil thought against his master. One after another, they asked, "Lord, is it I?" Judas alone remained silent. This drew the eyes of all to him. Everybody turned around and looked at Judas. When he saw that he was observed, he too asked, "Master, is it I?" I'm sure he did not ask that with conviction. Like, "Master, is it I?" He probably just said it, "Master, is it I?" just to get it said. And Jesus said, "Yes, it is you." Why did he do that? Because Jesus wanted the disciples to know that the betrayal hadn't sneaked up on him. He knew it was coming. And he wanted the disciples, the rest of them, to realize who was going to do it. And we may find out some more information later. This was taken from Story of Jesus, page 98. Thank you for listening.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Next Sabbath, we will be continuing with part 6 of our lesson entitled At the Passover Supper in a tiny talk lesson book, The Story About Jesus, and that will take place December 9th, 2023. And I will hand it back to our dear brother for the review.
All right. What did Jesus say as he took the bread to give them?
"This is my body which is given for you."
"This is my body which is given for you." Yes. What does the bread and the wine represent? What does?
And the answer is the body and blood of Christ.
The body and blood of Christ. How did the disciples respond when Jesus said, "One of you shall betray me"?
One after another, they asked, "Lord, is it I?"
That's right. As they went around this room, the 11 disciples said, "Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I?" Judas hadn't said anything, so they looked at him. "Lord, is it I?" "Yes," Jesus said, "it's you." All right. See you next week.
Amen. Good job, everyone. So it's time for a little tiny thoughts and bearings, and also our guests to learn precious lesson in our review for our part 50 of the water topic, the water of life, and our dear brother will be the one to share.
The water of life, So I bless everyone here today's lesson concerning water, the water of life review. Our Bible verse is taken from the book of Mark chapter 1, King James Version. Lesson 13, healings. Verses 40 to 45 say, And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. He straightly charged him, forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and ablaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. Research, be thou made clean. Away from his friends and his kindred, the leper must bear the curse of his malady. He was obliged to punish his own calamity, to rend his garments, and to sound the alarm, warning all to flee from his contaminating presence. The cry, unclean, unclean, coming in mournful tones from the lonely exile was signal heard with fear and abhorrence. In the region of Christ's ministry, there were many of these sufferers, and the news of his work reached them, kindling a gleam of hope. But since the days of Elisha the prophet, such a thing had never been known as the cleansing of one upon whom this disease had fastened. When they dared not expect Jesus to do for them what he had never done for any man, there was one, however, in whose heart faith began to spring up. Yet the man knew not how to reach Jesus, debarred as he was. But from contact with his fellow men, how could he present himself to the healer? He questioned if Christ would heal him. Would he stoop to notice one believed to be suffering under the judgment of God? Would he not, like the Pharisees and even the physicians, pronounce a curse upon him and warn him to flee from the haunts of men? He thought of all that had been told of him of Jesus. Now one who had sought his help had been turned away. The wretched man determined to find the Savior, though shut out from the cities, it might be that he could cross his path in some byway along the mountain roads, or find him as he was teaching outside the towns. The difficulties were great, but this was his only hope. The leper is guided to the Savior. Jesus is teaching beside the lake. And the people are gathered about him, standing afar off. The leper catches a few words from the Savior's lips. He sees him laying his hands upon the sick. He sees the lame, the blind, the paralytic, and those dying of various maladies rise up in health, praising God for their deliverance. Faith strengthens in his heart. He draws nearer and yet nearer to the gathered throng. The restrictions laid upon him, the safety of the people, and the fear of which all men regard him are forgotten. He thinks only of the blessed hope of healing. Jesus replied, I will, be thou made clean, and lay his hand upon him. Matthew 8:3. The Desire of Ages, page 262-263. In this picture here, it says, And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Mark 1:40. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Mark 1:41. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Mark 1:42. This text here says, the blessing of rain. Read Hosea 6:3, Joel 2:23, and James 5:7. The farmer must be patient for both rains, for without either, there would be no crop. The early rain prepares the plant, and the latter rain will bring the fruit. So Jesus, the water of life, was preparing his disciples to grow into mature fruit, and Thomas is one example of this. The garden needs heaven's choicest blessing to produce proper fruit. Thomas also needed to have a deeper trust in the water of life. Below says, as we view in the garden the plants grown by God's tender care, we can trust him to care for us in the same way. This text says, branches hold a tree's leaves out to the sun. The leaves are the food factories of the tree. To make food, they need sunlight, water, and carbon dioxide, an invisible gas in the air. Air enters tiny openings on the bottom of the leaf. Every leaf has one or more veins, which has xylem and phloem tissue. The tissue that surrounds the veins has tiny green bodies called chloroplasts. Water from the roots passes through that xylem of the trunk, branches, and leaves to the chloroplasts. They use the water to make food sugar. Only small amounts of water carried to the leaves are used to make sugar. Most of the water evaporates. This is called transpiration. Like the water and dissolved minerals, those carried from the roots, the food made by the leaves is also called sap. It travels through the phloem of the leaves, branches, and trunks to parts of the tree where it is needed. So the Sabbath is to provide rest and spiritual food for the soul. This is why we work to have all our preparation completed before the Sabbath begins. Then we can enjoy it. It also teaches us that God can complete his work in us. Chlorophyll makes the leaves green from a green substance in the chloroplasts. Chlorophyll can remind us of faith, which captures light coming from the sun of righteousness and turns it into spiritual food. Most trees also have reds and yellows in their leaves, but the green conceals these colors. In the late summer and early autumn, the chlorophyll in May broadleaf leaves breaks down and the leaves stop making food. Then the leaves die. But before the leaves fall, they reveal their hidden reds and yellows. Carotene, which is present in carrots, corn, and daffodils, give the leaves a yellow color. After the chlorophyll breaks down, many leaves also develop scarlet and purple due to the presence of anthocyanin. There are many hidden blessings by colors and leaves in the Sabbath that we can enjoy, and that is why we do not sleep it away. It is thought that a change in the color of the sunlight in the fall is the trigger that causes chlorophyll to fade away. On the Sabbath, there is a change in the sunlight. The whole day is unusually bright with the special blessing of the sun of righteousness. There is no soil in which a tree can grow better than that which is formed by the decay of its own leaves. This can symbolize that there is nothing more helpful to the soul's growth and grace than meditations upon the shortness and uncertainty to human life. We all do fade as a leaf. Isaiah 64:6. Death comes in all seasons, and the young may fade in sickness as well as the old. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Psalm 90:12. Nature's fading leaves and fleeting glories are preaching eloquent sermons. The Sabbath is a good day to attend nature's service. And Bombalo says nature leaves. And this text here says rain. The critical condition that must be reached before rain falls reminds us of the condition we must reach before the Lord can let the latter rain fall in our lives. Continue our reference reading for the law topic of our Tiny Tots lesson review, chapter 27, Thou Canst Make Me Clean. Away from his friends and his kindred, the leper must bear the curse of his malady. He was obliged to publish his own calamity, to rend his garments and sound the alarm, warn all to flee from his contaminating presence. The cry, unclean, unclean, coming in mournful tones from the lonely exile, was a signal heard with fear and abhorrence. This is our pages, page 262, paragraph 2. In the region of Christ's ministry, there were many of these sufferers, and the news of his work reached them, giving them the gleam of hope. But since the days of Elisha the prophet, such a thing had never been known as the cleansing of one upon whom this disease had fastened. They dared not expect Jesus to do for them what he had never done for any man. There was one, however, in whose heart faith began to spring up. If the man knew not how to reach Jesus, debarred as he was from the contact with his fellow man, how could he present himself to the healer? He questioned if Christ would heal him. Would he stoop to notice one believed to be suffering under the judgment of God? Would he not, like the Pharisees and even the physicians, pronounce a curse upon him and warn him to flee from the haunts of men? He thought of all that had been told of him, Jesus, and he told him of Jesus. Not one who had sought his help had been turned away. The wretched man determined to find the Savior. Though shut out from the cities, it might be that he could cross his path in some byway along the mountain roads, or find him as he was teaching outside the towns. The difficulties were great, but this was his only hope. The Desire of Ages, page 262, paragraph 3. Continuing. The work of Christ in cleansing the leper from his terrible disease is an illustration of his work in cleansing the soul from sin. The man who came to Jesus was full of leprosy. Its deadly poison permeated his whole body. The disciples sought to prevent their master from touching him, for he who touched a leper became himself unclean. When laying his hand upon the leper, Jesus received no defilement. His touch imparted life-giving power. The leprosy was cleansed. Thus it is with the leprosy of sin, deep-rooted, deadly, and impossible to be cleansed by human power. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Isaiah 1:5-6. But Jesus, coming into dwell in humanity, receives no pollution. His presence has healing virtue for the sinner. Whoever will fall at his feet, saying in faith, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew 8:2-3. Desire of Ages, page 266, paragraph 1. In some instances of healing, Jesus did not at once grant the blessing sought, but in the case of leprosy, no sooner was the appeal made than it was granted. When we pray for earthly blessings, the answer to our prayer may be delayed, or God may give us something other than we ask, but not so when we ask for deliverance from sin. It is his will to cleanse us from sin, to make us his children, and to enable us to live a holy life. Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Galatians 1:4. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. 1 John 5:14-15. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. The Desire of Ages, page 266, paragraph 2. Review. You can find the answer to all these questions in the Bible. Question 1, who will forgive Jesus so he could be healed in our lesson today? Find the answer in Mark 1:40. Question 2, how did Jesus respond? Look for the answer in Mark 1:41. And 3, what was the result and what counsel did Jesus give him? The answer is in Mark 1:42-44. I'll turn the mic back to Amanda.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. And remember, little ones, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Our opening song is a hymn entitled Covered with His Life. You can find the hymn in the hymnal book. The number is 412. If you would like to join us in singing the hymn, you can unmute your mic to do so. Look upon Jesus, sinless he, Father revealed his life unto me. My life a scholar, my sin and woe, covered with his life, whiter than snow. Covered with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life was scarlet, my sin and woe, covered with his life, whiter than snow.
Deeper the wounds transgression has made, redder the stains my soul is afraid. Oh, to be covered, Jesus, with thee, safe from the law that now judgeth me. Cover with his light, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his light, whiter than snow. Longing the joy of pardon to know, Jesus holds out a robe white as snow. Lord, I accept it, leaving my own. Gladly I wear thy pure life alone. Cover with his life, whiter than snow. Fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his life, whiter than snow. Reconciled by his death for my sins, justified by his my pure and clean, sanctified by obeying his word, glorified when returneth my Lord. Covered with his life, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, covered with his life, whiter than snow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear sisters. Welcome to all the precious brethren that are coming in. If any one of the little ones or elder siblings would like to open the review section of their study, may they mute the mic to do so, dear one.
have a blessing to everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me and my mom and my dad. And then please protect the people that's in the school that's not here and they can come back on to the Sabbath. And please protect the ones that we're going to learn. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
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 In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our opening scripture to our review is taken from the Sunlight Sound Studio entitled Behold He Cometh Memory Verse CD in Revelation chapter 1 verses 5 through 6, also chapter 4, 8 through 11 margin. Okay, just a minute. Let me close this.
To Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God.
So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we hear the questions or the comments or anything you would like to share with the Remnant family? We are going to take a few minutes to reread our part one of our lesson, part five, entitled Calvary, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Ages, page 749, continuing, Jesus' suffering and dying heard every word as the priests declared. He saves himself. He cannot save. Let Christ, the King of
Israel
descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Christ could have come down from the cross. But it is because he would not save himself that the sinner has hope of pardon and favor ways of God. The Desire of Ages, page 749, paragraph 1.
Good job. The Desire of Ages, page 749. In their mockery of the Savior, the men who profess to be the expounders of the prophecy were repeating the very words which inspiration had foretold they would utter upon this occasion. Yet in their blindness, they did not see that they were fulfilling the prophecy. Those who in derision uttered the words, "He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God," little thought that their testimony would sound down the ages. Continuing on the next slide, please. And I'll go ahead and bubble down so someone else could share.
I'm going to read.
You would like to read?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Continuing?
Continuing. But?
Although?
Spoken. In?
Mockery.
These?
Words.
Led
men
to
search
the
scriptures
as they had never done before. Wise men
heard
searched. Pondered,
and
prayed. Put your glasses back on. Okay, go ahead, Emma. There
were
those
who
never
rested until
by
comparing
scripture. With
scripture. They saw the meaning of Christ.
Mission.
Never before was
there
such a
general
knowledge of Jesus as when he hung upon the cross
into
the
hearts
of many who
beheld
the
crucifixion
and who heard
Christ's
words the
light
of
truth
was
shining. Good job. The Desire of Ages.
749.
Paragraph
2.
Very good. Nice job, girls.
Jesus, in his agony on the cross, there came one gleam of comfort. It was the prayer of the penitent thief. Both the men who were crucified with Jesus had first rallied upon him, and one under his suffering only became more desperate and defiant, but not so with his companion. This man was not a burdened criminal. He had been led astray by evil associations, but he was less guilty than many of those who stood beside the cross, reveling the Savior. Next slide.
Continuing, he had seen and heard Jesus and had been convicted by his teachings, but he had been turned away from him by the priests and rulers. Seeking to stifle conviction, he had plunged deeper and deeper into sin until he was arrested, tried as a criminal, and condemned to die on the cross. In the judgment hall and on the way to Calvary, he had been in company with Jesus. He had heard Pilate declare, "I find no fault in him." John chapter 19, verse 4. Next slide, please. Come on, Jeremiah. Continuing. Come sit up closer so you can see.
He had
marked
his
godlike
bearing, and his
pitying
forgiveness of his
tormentors.
On the
cross.
He.
What do you do with your eyes?
See.
Good.
The.
Many.
Great.
Religionists.
Shoot. What?
Put your hands down so you can see.
What?
S-O. Out. Mm-hmm.
The.
What's this in your tongue? What is that? What's that in your mouth?
Tongue.
Good. So what's the word?
Tongue.
Mm-hmm. With. Scorn.
And.
Ridicule. Good.
The. Or.
Lord. Jesus.
He sees the
wagging. What is this?
Head.
Mm-hmm.
He.
What do you do with your ears?
Ear.
Good.
The.
Upbraiding.
Speechless.
Taken.
Up.
Mm-hmm.
By.
Good.
His
companion
in
guilt.
Less.
No, just guilt.
Guilt.
Mm-hmm.
If
thou
be
Christ,
save
thyself.
And
U.S. says
up.
Us. Good, John. Next slide, please. Yeah, you did good.
continuing. Among the passers-by, he hears many defending Jesus. He hears them repeat his words and tell of his works. The conviction comes back to him that this is the Christ. Turning to his fellow criminal, he says, "Does not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation?" Next slide, please.
Continuing, the desire of ages, page 749. The dying thieves have no longer anything to fear from man, but upon one of them presses the conviction that there is a God to fear, a future to cause him to tremble. And now, all sin polluted as it is, his life history is about to close, and we indeed justly, he moans, but we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Desire of Ages, page 749, paragraph 3.
Continuing the reading, there is no question now. There are no doubts, no reproaches. When condemned for his crime, the thief had become hopeless and despairing. But strange, tender thoughts now spring up. He calls to mind all he has heard of Jesus, how he has healed the sick and pardoned sin. He has heard the words of those who believed in Jesus and followed him weeping. He has seen and read the title above the Savior's head. He has heard the passers-by repeat it. And continuing on the next slide, please. Haley.
Continuing. Some with
greed.
Quivering lips. Others with jesting and
mockery.
The Holy Spirit
illuminates
his mind, and little by little, the chain of
evidence
is joined together. In Jesus, bruised, mocked, and hanging upon the cross, he sees a Lamb, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world.
What's that?
Of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is mingled with
anguish
in his voice, and as the helpless dying soul cast himself upon a dying Savior, Lord, remember me, he cries, when thou comest into thy kingdom.
Very good. The Desire of Ages,
page 750, paragraph 1.
Very good. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Although you have done beautifully, dear ones, let's consider this verse for review section taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. It's a memory verse song. Bo sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And with that, dear ones, what have we learned and ways we have grown? Here we have the 6 questions that we have held that we may review today. For those that are not able to see the screen, I will read it out. If you are moved to be able to share, you can be able to do so, but I'm muting your mic. The first is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And our last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you are able to place it in the room or use your mic, who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
Jesus and the thieves and on the cross.
Good job.
Good job.
What is, number 2, what is the main idea, for this section? The main idea, as far as I understood it, is Jesus, even though Jesus was being crucified, the Holy Spirit was still working in order to draw, men unto him, as we saw what was being done with the thief on the cross. The answer to number 3, where did the story take place? The section of the story took place in Golgotha, which we also know is Calvary, as Calvary.
The answer to question 4, Jesus hearing the ruler's mockery while suffering and dying.
I'd like to add to number 4, when did the story begin? The story, would say began, this section of the story, when Jesus was taken from Pilate's judgment hall after being scourged and beaten and taken on that walk on the journey to head to Golgotha, is when the section of the story began. Number 5 it is, Titi Rosie. How could you relate to this story?
My answer is
5. How could you relate to the story? I can relate to the story. Just to keep it simple, despite what we go through, what we go through is also a lesson in our lives and showing the love that the Lord has for us. But that same love that the Lord has given and shown to us is the same love that we are to bestow on other people, regardless of what those people have put us through, have said about us, or what they've done to us. They still need to see the character of Jesus.
My answer is question 6. What did you learn from this lesson? I learned that Jesus had integrity and humility during that day. Even though he did have a lot of power and could come down the cross right on the spot, he wouldn't be able to fulfill his mission, which he came to do, to save us from our sins. And even there, he even found hope in one of the two men crucified next to him. wonderment and that he ought to save himself if both the other was humble and was rather accepted his fate and just and told Jesus to remember him and because as he see his wrongs, Jesus proclaimed that he would see heaven because as he knew who his wrong and confessed it. And that takes real integrity.
Amen. What did I learn from this section of the story? There was something that stood out to me in one of the pictures that was on the slide. All right. It brought out that, and it led me to ask a question. What is leprosy? And leprosy, here I learned was twofold. One was an actual physical affliction of the skin or of the body. And the other, leprosy is represented here as sin. And we saw that, as the thieves were on the cross, he was being cleansed of his sin as he began by the Holy Spirit to believe unto Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And that was very interesting to me, that sin is also considered leprosy. That's what I'm learning about from this section of the story.
Does anybody
I apologize. Did it say that one of the thieves were there because of basically the people that he had in his circle, like his friends, steered him down the wrong path, and he just kept going down that way with them, and it which led him there?
Of the two thieves, the one that was repented, he basically didn't make any excuse for what it was that he did. He acknowledged that they were actually guilty of it. The ones that it was mentioned in that particular slide, it was talking about those that was actually looking up to them, how more guilty they were than the one that was on the cross. The ones that were actually in the midst there wasn't, well, it didn't mention per se that was his friend, but it was just talking about those that was present. And if you know in the crowd, it was like the Pharisees and all of those that was accusing. Here, they are more in penalty because he didn't really excuse what it is that he did. There were many that were there that their sins were not shown, but they were more guilty than he was. If anybody would like to be able to share, you can be able to do so. Their brother said, yes, the thief that repented. And also, I just wanted to touch upon the circumstances of the two. One, he was angry because of what he had done. He didn't really place it as being there was no other hope for him because he held on what it was that he had done. So he didn't allow the Holy Spirit to touch him. By being angry, by being dissatisfied, by being defiant, that made a wall for the Holy Spirit to really touch him. You see, the two of them were in the same position, but it depended on how each one had handled the circumstances. So here with the two teeth, it also gave us the condition of those that are like Cain and those that are able. Those that like Cain, they were very angry about the outcome of the decision that they made. But here Abel, he saw the lamb with the teaching that was given to him. By taking the lamb and taking responsibility for his sin and giving it to the lamb, this is how I actually saw that scene, that we have the opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace. And by acknowledging what it is that we have done in the eyes of Jesus, because even in our eyes, we always seem to justify. But when Christ allowed the Holy Spirit to touch it, he bring it home to our heart exactly as it is seen in God and not in our own eyes. I just wanted to share that. Anybody else would like to share? May you unmute your mic. Well, we are going to continue the ones. We will be sharing poem and special music and also a thought. This particular thought is taken from a devotional entitled With God at Dawn, pages 324.1, which is paragraph 1 through 5, and also 326, 1 through 4 in the paragraph entitled He Will Make Darkness Light. This series is called His Binding Present. Our opening scripture is taken from Isaiah 42:16 from the King James Version, and it reads, And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in the paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. You can also find these thoughts in chapter 60, entitled, A Cross is Accepting the Truth. And this is in Testimony, Volume 3, and we're going to begin with page 115, paragraph 1. Who would like to take the paragraph there once? May you meet someone.
In the world ye shall have tribulation, says Christ, but in me ye shall have peace. The trials to which Christians are subjected to in sorrow, adversary and reproach are the means appointed of God to separate the chaff from the wheat. Our pride, selfishness, evil passions, and love of worldly pleasure must all be overcome. Therefore God sends us afflictions to test us, to test and prove us, and show us that these evils exist in our characters. We must overcome through his strength and grace, continue, that we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, for our light affliction, says Paul, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Afflictions, crosses, temptations, adversity, and our very trials are God's workmen to refine us, sanctify us, and fit us for the heavenly garment. The Testimonies of the Church, Volume 3, page 115. Paragraph 1, and that's it.
Oh, why are we so sensitive to trial and reproach, to shame and suffering when our Lord has given us such an example? Who would wish to enter into the joy of their Lord while they were unwilling to partake of his sufferings? What? The servant unwilling to bear the humility and shame and reproach which the master bore unselfishly for him? The servant shrinking from a life of humility and sacrifice which is for his own eternal happiness, by which he may finally obtain an exceedingly great and eternal reward? The language of my heart is, let me be a partaker with Christ of his sufferings, that I may finally share with him the glory. Second Testimony, page 490, paragraph 2, Testimony for the Church.
Be not moved from your steadfastness by the jeers and scoffs of those whose minds are given to vanity. Follow your Savior through evil as well as good report. Count it all joy and a sacred honor to bear the cross of Christ. Jesus loves you. He died for you. Testimonies for the Church, page 237, paragraph 1.
This particular one is entitled, He Draws All Men by His Death, and the title is Redemption Promised. And the opening scripture for that is John 12:32, King James, and it reads, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones?
The great plan of redemption results in fully bringing back the world into God's favor. All that was lost by sin is restored. Not only man, but the earth is redeemed to be the eternal abode of the obedient. For 6,000 years, Satan has struggled to maintain possession of the earth. Now, God's original purpose in its creation is accomplished. The saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel chapter 7, verse 18.
Continuing from the Patriarchs and Prophets, page 342, paragraph 1. The true object of education is to restore the image of God in the soul. In the beginning, God created man in his own likeness. He endowed him with noble qualities. His mind was well balanced, and all the powers of his being were harmonious. But the fall and its effects have perverted these gifts. Sin has marred and well-nigh obliterated the image of God in man. Somebody may continue.
It was to restore this that the plan of salvation was devised, and a life of probation was granted to man, to bring him back to the perfection in which he was first created is the great object of life. The object that underlies every other is the work of parents and teachers in the education of the youth to cooperate with the divine purpose, and in so doing, they are laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Preaching and Prophet 595, paragraph 2. Patriarchs and Prophets.
Those who teach the most solemn message ever given to the world should discipline the mind to comprehend its significance. The theme of redemption will bear the most concentrated study, and its depths will never be fully explored. Do not fear that you will exhaust the wonderful theme. Go to the fountain for yourself, that you may be filled with refreshment. Drink deep at the well of salvation, that Jesus may be in you a well of water, springing up unto everlasting life. Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students, page 528, paragraph 3.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear ones. Our poem is entitled The Example of Christ, taken from Children Activity Book Year 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 5, on page 116, from the Sunlight Education Ministry Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1. Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, once became a child like me. All that in my whole behavior, he may pattern still. He my pattern still might be.
Number 2, all my nature is unholy. Pride and passion dwell within. But the Lord was meek and lowly, and was never known to sin.
While I'm often vainly trying some new pleasure to possess, he was always self-denying, patient in his worst distress.
Lord, assist a feeble creature, guide me by the word of truth, consent to me my teacher through my childhood and my youth.
Often I shall be forgetful of the lessons thou hast taught, idle, passionate, and fretful, or indulgent foolish thought.
Number 6. Then permit me not to harden in my sin and be content, but bestow a gracious pardon and assist me to repent.
Amen. This poem is entitled The Example of Christ, taken from Children Activity Book, Year 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 5, page 116, from the Sunlight Education Ministry from Homeschooling from the Bible. I had my mic off, so I'm just hoping for the sake of the recording. And the special music is a combo. This was taken and inspired by dear sister Joan that the Holy Spirit had given. And the combo is, Step to Christ, yeah, page 52. And it's got combination of the hymn 567 entitled, Have Thy Own Way, Lord. Jesus loved to have us come to him, just as we are, just as we are. Sinful, helpless, depending, just as we are, just as we are. We may come with all our weakness, our folly, our sinfulness, and fall at his feet in penitence, just as we are, just as we are. Have thy own way, have thy own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, it is his glory to encircle us in the arm of his love, and to bind up our wounds, to cleanse us from all impurity. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Jesus loved to have us come to him, just as we are, just as we are. Sinful, helpless, dependent, step to Christ Page 52. Well, dear ones, we do have more time with the other two services to share our testimony. I think we are over. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 6 of our lesson entitled Calvary in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to have closing prayer, dear ones? May you unmute your mic to do so.
May we bow our heads on our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day, and we also thank you for all the beautiful lessons. We thank you for the participation of all the beautiful children and their parents. Father, as we move on to the next section of the studies, we pray your blessing on the speaker, and we pray for the other blessings that we might receive in this section. Thank you, Lord, again, for your many blessings, and may you continue to guide and keep us throughout this day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be December 9, 2023, we are going to continue with our part 6 of our chapter 78 entitled Calvary, and that will be lesson 397. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones. But before, we are going to share two scenes of the fall. And it teaches us that change is beautiful and not bad at all. What a mighty God we serve, dear ones. May you enjoy your nature walk or experience. We have some beautiful pictures next Sabbath to be able to share of the nature experience of our dear remnant family. May you all have a wonderful Sabbath, dear ones. God bless.